Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie,
that government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense. That no one could possibly need all 30 rounds. But when this rifle is the only thing standing between your family and a dozen angry Democrats in Klan hoods, you just might need that semi-automatic and all 30 rounds.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, This is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, so we'll have Leslie joining us here momentarily. And if you have anything you want to discuss tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring on Leslie, as promised. Welcome in, Leslie.
Hey, can you hear me? I'm on a new...
All right.
Yay.
So welcome in.
Awesome. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I always tell people you don't have to ask if I can hear you. I will let you know if I can't hear you.
Okay, that works out.
All right. So what have you been working on lately?
Well, I've been working on a lot, yet it feels like I'm just running on a treadmill, you know. I've got a lot of things going on in my life that are a little different, a little fun. I'm getting the opportunity to – I have the time – maybe that's the wrong word, but – I've been able to get in contact with some old friends of mine, and you know, it's really been this whole process of moving on separately in my life has been interesting, and I'm finding peace in it, and so it's a process, but, you know, I'm finding some peace in this, you know. So, anyway, that's really what's been going on with me. I fall asleep to Tucker Carlson every night. It's life, so, you know.
So I'll let you know about 6 weeks ahead of time here that I'm leaning towards, and I haven't made this official, but I might take my 50th birthday off, leaving you in charge on September 20th.
Okay. That sounds fine. I think that'll work just fine.
Yeah, I figure 50 is one of those where I better take off.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, you're like half a century. It's kind of a big deal, you know?
A half a century, wow. I mean, it's true, but hey, there's a lot of people that wish they can get that far.
You know what? Not everyone makes it. Not everyone makes it at all. So, you know, I think this is definitely worth taking off for. Of course, 8 days after you turn half a century, I hit 45. So, you know, I mean, that within an 8-day time span is your birthday and then mine. Two September kids right here.
40 didn't hit me that bad. 45 kind of did.
Yeah, it's, you know, 40 didn't really bother me. My 30s were fun. And my 20s were a blast, but turning 30 was really nice because it was a little bit of a separation from being a kid in my 20s. And then 40 hit, and then I got pregnant. So I was able to kind of convince myself that I was still kind of young because, you know, obviously I've got a newborn. So, you know, I definitely felt younger. And no one mistook her for my granddaughter or my grandchild, which is nice. But, yeah, I think 45 is probably going to hurt a little bit.
Well,
But the thing is, with me at least, that not many people know that I'm 50, although a couple places gave me senior discounts because of my graying hair. But if I dye my hair, nobody will know I'm 50.
Right, right. And that's really where it's at, you know? So, yeah, I'm definitely going up into a lighter platinum because my roots coming in match the lighter platinum. And, mm-hmm. and it's like the, like my hair is coming in as it should have been all along.
So something that I read recently, and I don't know how true it is, so I didn't grab the story. I read it like maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
About how graying hair can be thwarted by taking enough selenium.
You know, selenium and copper. And then, you know, if you're going to do copper, you need to add zinc to it. But,
right.
I know a lot of people right now that are talking about how they're losing just massive clumps of hair because of this virus that's going around, this gain-of-function virus that's been going around.
Yes.
And then 3 months after, they lose chunks of hair. Well, I drank so much silica, used selenium, used copper, used zinc. I didn't lose any hair. In fact, my hair's like more full and actually my hair has never looked better, honestly. So, I think it's a good idea. Yeah. Selenium and I know the copper both work on helping gray hair, but mine's coming in white and I earned it. So, you know, you earned that. You earned that, Gray. So, you know.
The gray doesn't bother me one way or the other, but every so often I just want to see how young I look, so I'll have my hair dyed maybe once every 18 months or so.
I think it's a good idea. And you know what? You could start going with more of a turquoise since you work from home.
I like dark red, so I'm sticking with that.
Okay, that works. I think I may do a violet or a like a lavender color. I mean, you know, why not?
Yeah, I'll show you this picture of me from like 5 years ago or something. So anyway, we do have a bunch of news to go over. I wanted to just read into this story. I'm not going... I have a clip. I don't know if I want to play it or not. Jesse Waters was talking about it earlier, but... So, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, got busted with a DUI a while back.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
So... All of a sudden, the judge that was supposed to take this case yesterday resigns, and they bring someone up who worked with the Democrat Party and the reelection for Governor Grusom and knows the Pelosis. So
right.
She's never tried
a case
before ever.
I mean, it's all for family.
Ever. This is her first case. And the district attorney also... has worked numerous Democrat functions. So this is going to be as one-sided as you can find, and there's no cameras allowed in the courtroom.
You know, California is pretty much the Democratic Party in California is controlled by four families. The Newsoms and the Pelosi. I saw it broken down yesterday. Actually, and it made a lot of sense. So, yeah, of course, he's not going to end up with with any problems from that. You know, he doesn't have to deal with lifetime of consequences that say we're just a regular citizen would have to live with. And she went to Thailand today too. I thought China had some stuff they were going to do if she went to Thailand.
No, she went to Singapore, and now
she's
on her way to Taiwan. I don't know if she touched down yet, but she was expected to be there today. Today, our time. Tomorrow, theirs. So we'll see if what happens, but China is threatening, as they will. But that's why the U.S. goes there, so they can try and play bully. I didn't lose you, did I?
No, I'm here. That's
all
a
right.
Good photo of you and your wife.
Okay.
So,
no,
yeah.
Thank you. So you could see where I dye my hair, and it looks somewhat normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just gonna go back to platinum. It matches the white that's coming in. I think I like that.
Oh, sorry, I was letting you talk, so I didn't know if you had anything.
I'm just reading some of this article that you sent, and
Oh, there's some other stuff I want to just hit quickly here.
Yeah, definitely.
So Brandon is official, and it's not just me saying this, but everywhere is reporting that Brandon has the lowest approval numbers in U.S. history for a president. It's official. Even fake news is having to say it. It's that bad.
And you know it has to be bad. You know, the plan was to have somebody in
I think I know what you're saying. Brandon was there to be the Trojan horse or the vehicle to have Brandon lay down and let Kamala be the president.
Pretty much, yeah. And also, he's a good distraction, you know? So, you know, he's a good distraction. I mean, how much more do you need?
So let me jump in here. So,
okay.
So they said Brandon needs a win so badly because he's losing badly in the polls. His approval ratings are falling off the tracks. So they found him something. They conjured up that just overnight that the United States military was able to take out the top Al-Qaeda leader. So that's what they're running with. There's only one problem with this, though. So I don't know if you would realize that there is an issue, a very major glaring issue, with the fact that he had special forces take out Al-Qaeda's top person. Would you happen to guess what that might be?
No.
He already died in November of 2020, and Al Jazeera and many newspapers in Europe already reported that in November 2020.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know if that was another Mandela effect issue or what. If that was another Berenstain Bears kind of thing, because CERN is
Well, there are videos of it. They have his picture. They have him talking from a previous interview.
Yeah.
And they announced it. Are they going to say every other newspaper in the world was sharing fake news 2 years ago?
I honestly didn't know if this was a Mandela effect thing just because of CERN, because I did see that he died 2 years ago and that he just recently died. So there's people that remember Mandela's death and then there's people that don't. Just as there's people that remember the Berenstain Bears and those that remember the Berenstain Bears. And there's this
and that's why, Leslie, I posted a video.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was another Mandela effect thing, because, wow, once you start going down the Mandela effect rabbit hole.
Yeah, but the thing is that when videos from Al Jazeera and everybody else is reporting it, they're not going to lie. Every newspaper in Europe is not going to lie about the same thing. There's no purpose in it. Why would 500 newspapers in the Middle East and Europe talk about fake news from 2 years ago?
Well, a lot of them talked about fake news with the shot.
Yeah,
but for killing somebody,
talking about how this guy died, and they're never going to retract it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously.
But they figure they could just put his picture up there, and nobody's going to know one person from the other, so they just run with it like it's brand new news.
Right.
So the trained SEALs out there, as they will, I'm not even calling them sheep anymore. They're trained SEALs. They have to support the current thing.
Well, of course.
And that's what T-Localist calls them.
As long as you're supporting the current thing, I mean, obviously. What is the current thing these days? Have people started, it looks just like shingles. Yeah.
And everybody needs to wear a scam, although it's 99%+ given to one another by gay sex. Not that there's anything wrong with gay people at all. I'm not insinuating that.
Yeah.
It's the fact that if 99.4% of the moneypox cases are from gay people transmitting it to each other, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, there are several children with it, and it makes you wonder how these children got it. So, you know, it's not like it's...
And the children that got it were connected to gay men as well, so we can all assume on that.
Oh, you know what? That just hurts my heart right there. Oh.
Someone had to say it.
Oh, okay. Like, my heart is just... And now I'm crying.
Unless you think they got it some other way.
That kind of thing just really... It just really... That's the kind of thing that just really stabs my heart. And maybe they got it because they are around so many people with monkeypox. But
it's not an airborne disease. So if it's transmitted through gay sex, one person so far in the world has died. And they're trying to say everybody needs to wear scams because you don't want money pox.
Yeah. So where do you put the scam? You wear it over your backside?
Possibly. I was thinking that. But that would be what pants are for, but the drag queens don't use those.
Well, no. Why would they? They're dancing in front of kindergartners.
Right.
I mean, you know.
I never thought in my life that there would be pornos made for under 18s. That are just
no,
as graphic or more so than adults.
That's the kind of thing that should get people in jail. And it is the kind of thing that's supposed to put people away for a very long time. But, you know, unless you're
not this day and age. Now, nowadays, you would almost think that they're pushing it as a religion. There are gay people that are against the LGBTQIAP+ community. They
yeah.
just want to be married to their partner and not get involved in this foolishness. They're not into the grooming.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And I would say that would be the majority of them. I would say that would be almost every single one of them I know can't stand it. They don't like it. They're against this, you know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Jan Smith, who happens to be madly in love with Patricia Smith, that all they want is to have equality and not grooming. And if somebody adopted a child, they don't care what direction somebody bats. They're not there to say everybody in the world needs to be gay. It's that those two chose to be gay, and everybody else can do what they want. I think
you
that's the majority of gay Americans.
You know, while I am glad that gay people no longer have to pretend to be straight first, you know, like we saw with our generation, I just want it to not be anything special, nothing out of the ordinary. I think at this point in time in our history, I think it's ridiculous to come out as gay. I mean, I say this, I have a gay kid, you know, but I didn't have to come out and be like, oh, yay, I like guys. And the fact that I'm still into men after all I've been through in the last few months, oh my gosh, that's obvious that my sexuality is not a choice. But you know what? I never had to sit my parents down and say, Mom, Dad, I like guys. I like boys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, please don't call Grandma yet. You know, I mean, it was none of that. And I honestly think that it should be such a non-issue that coming out days shouldn't have to be a thing. It should just be, oh, they're gay. Okay, that's nice. Just like my youngest is left-handed. Oh, she's left-handed. Oh, yeah.
Are you free?
No big deal. Okay.
Nobody should be shamed or praised over who they chose to sleep with.
Exactly. Am I gonna scream because nobody's throwing a parade for my left-handed daughter? Because my oldest one gets a parade. But what about the middle kid, whatever her name is, because she's the middle kid and gets left out of stuff. Well, she's right-handed and straight, so. Where's her trophy? You know, I don't get it. You know, I and it's not just that people are gay. It's the bazillion different separations, this non-binary, gender fluid.
Yeah, stuff nobody ever understands.
Yeah, like my pronouns are...
Like, well, how come you don't understand all 1,300 genders that are out there? How come you're intolerant?
Because there's two. And if you feel like you should be dressing up like a woman, I don't care. Because you know what that is? That's clothing. Nobody bats an eye when I wear a pantsuit. Nobody freaking cares. I could put on pants. I could put on some pants. I could probably buy myself a nice pair of wingtips. Life would go on. You know what? I don't think it's that big of a deal if a man wants to put on a skirt and wear some makeup. I don't care. It's clothing. It's makeup. Does that make him a woman? No. Does me in a pantsuit with no makeup make me a man? No. No. I've had children. Human life has sprung forth from my loins. I am a woman. That is what women do. So, you know, I have a really hard time with an entire generation that sees gender as an identity. It's not.
But even so, Leslie, there are people that can describe to you to a T what being gender fluid means, but if you ask them what's a woman, they say, I don't know.
I have to watch myself because my children are very woke, and their grandmother, grandfather, that they spend an awful lot of time with, very, very woke. So sometimes I hear my children sound like Rachel Maddow. And that's going over with me about as well as you would imagine it to be. I still have the young one. She is not berating me over the Second Amendment or gender identities. Frustrating. It's a frustrating time to be, you know what? It's a frustrating time to be a...
Just a regular, normal person?
Yeah. You know what? It's really frustrating to be a 2000-era liberal, okay? There we go.
Well, you're no longer a liberal, though.
No, I'm libertarian now. The party left me. Whatever the party is, it says, I really don't care. Just live your life and shut the hell up about it. That's where I'm at. Do I think that anybody should dictate someone else's life? No. Even my own kids. I give them a lot of say in their lives. Do you want to study this right now, or do you want to study this? You know, would you like to study more of this, or do you want to hop onto something else? You know, and they learn. They're given a lot of freedom in their lives, and I've found that giving them a lot of even a ridiculous amount of freedom. They're very well-behaved, well-mannered kids, except they'll try to have an argument with me about the Second Amendment. Anybody that, you know, wants to ban all the guns needs to go to Australia and see how things are. Side note, I have a friend of mine in Australia.
You don't even have to go that far. You can go to Chicago.
Yeah.
That should be your argument. You could tell people to go to New York City.
Yeah. Go to California. Check that out. Go to Austin, Texas.
Austin was nowhere near as bad as Chicago, though.
No. Although Austin, although Dallas police force is so corrupt.
By the way, how's your friend Robert Francis doing?
Oh, my God. He can, well, you know, I wonder how many other people he has hit and run. I wonder, you know, I mean, he writes stories about it. It's in his stories. It's in his wildest fantasies and dreams. He's lived that stuff out. He's a psychopath. I don't know how he's doing. He can run straight to hell. Or go crawl back under the rock he came from.
Well, you can't wait to take those guns away, though.
Yeah, that's going to go over about as well as you think it is in Texas.
Oh, I know that.
We do have a lot of California transplants, but a majority of them are moving here because the failed policies in California have created an environment they have to escape.
And the funny part is that Governor Grusom in California is the leading candidate for the Democrats in 2024.
You know, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I think they're going to probably try and knock old Joe off. And then we'll have Kamala. I don't know who all... I hear
well,
Trump
remember a while back, they did have Governor Grusom hanging out in D.C. and touring the White House and stuff for a few days.
Oh, well, of course.
They like what he's done for California during the lockdowns. He knows how to lay the law down and not pay attention to his own rules. And that's what they like.
Well, that's pretty awful.
So
yeah.
We hit a number of different topics quickly here. I want to read this article, and then I have a clip I want to play you, and then we have Broccoli Man.
Yay, I love Broccoli Man.
So I found this on InfoWars earlier. We were discussing genders and such. In Germany, they will be able to legally change their gender once a year.
Wait, say
so
that again.
Every year they can find a new gender and decide that they're that.
Oh. Well, that's interesting.
And they state in here that the Self-Determination Act will improve the lives of transgender people and recognize gender diversity.
Wow. We all know that there's gender diversity. I don't know why. It's like, oh, there's gender diversity here. Let's just shove it in your face a little bit more. We don't think you get it quite right. You don't get it like we think you should. So here, let's shove it in your face a little more. But, you know, the problem is that it's been shoved in our faces so much, we're kind of sick of it. Are you sick of it at this point yet? I mean, how long can they go on and on and on about a non-issue? Because honestly, you know, we've got this man.
I think you're missing the point of it, though, Leslie, that all this push for these different genders, that's not for us. We're old fogies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you are turning 50.
That this is for the under 30 crowd. Remember, don't trust anyone over 30.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably... Yeah, I guess we just don't get it. Are we the new boomers? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Are we now the new boomers?
Yes, this is for the millennials and the Gen Z. This isn't for us. We.
Oh, okay. Well.
We don't matter.
Well, and, you know, I mean.
But our kids gravitate to this.
Well, good luck with that, kids.
Did I tell you about 6 months ago when I was out hitting those mean streets trying to land a day job? And in an interview, somebody asked me what my pronouns were, and I said, I don't play that. And they said, thank you. Have a nice day.
No. Insane.
That was the only question they asked, the first and only. And because I said it's just me, and I didn't take the pronouns seriously, they basically canceled the interview.
Oh, my gosh. Aren't you glad you're not working for such a woke place?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I would rather have my eyes plucked out, or my ears.
Tell you, though, that I had three different companies, two on Zoom calls, tell me I had to wear a scam during the interview.
Well, I guess you can transmit monkeypox through the Zoom interview. What the hell? You have to wear that, really? That makes absolutely no sense. You can't, like, telepathically.
Everybody I tell doesn't believe me, but those three companies, they required it. So I exited stage left.
Yeah, well, I mean, you dodged a bullet there. According to the Children's Health Defense, back to the monkeypox thing, there are two strains of monkeypox.
Well, there could be more depending on what Dr. Fraudy paid for.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how the gain-of-function monkeypox has evolved, because, you know, there's more than one strain of measles, mm-hmm. There's more than one strain of, you know, that there's a gazillion strains of the flu. There's like an unlimited strain of flu viruses. I mean, they all evolve, they all mutate, they all do what they do, and that's what happens when they're unleashed on people. So,
all right, so next up, I want to play this Jim Brewer clip before we go into Mr. Broccoli.
Okay, okay, he's funny. Like,
and then the news cockatoos come out. Watch the news, watch the news. Trust the experts, trust the experts. Trust the science, trust the science. CDC, CDC, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci. Mask on, mask off, two shots, one shot, mask on, two masks. Comply, comply.
6 foot safe. Do what you are told, it is for your safety.
Delta, the Omega, the Charlie Brown.
Stay inside. This is never ending.
Poor old people would just stay in the basement. How long am I supposed to stay there? Well, come get you when it's safe. Well, vaccinators, you were real cocky a couple months ago. You got vaccinated. Got my second shot April 19th. I can't get sick from the corona. I'm vaccinated. See this bucket of virus? I'm vaccinated. I'll even lick metal. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't have to wear a mask. People vaccinated are getting sick. What? I need a new booster. What? Who wants a shot? Who wants to see a ball game?
Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Wave your flipper. That's for you. Go see the ball game. Who wants to work again? That's for you. Who wants their kids educated? What's in the shot? It's safe. Don't worry. Don't worry. Take the whole stuff back. I feel like this is going to be a Broadway play in 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? Wherever you like.
All right, so that was Jim Brewer. If you want to watch the whole clip, it's called Someone Had to Say It.
I like him. I like him. I liked him on Saturday Night Live. Funny
was
guy.
He on Saturday Night Live or Mad TV? I don't remember which one. I thought it was Mad TV.
He was on Saturday Night Live, I think.
Okay. I believe you. I just couldn't remember which one.
Yeah. Maybe both. I remember him in the clip. It was I think Paul Simon was on, and I forget who he was with. They were a couple, and they just drove into Florida, and then Jim Brewer showed up as, like, one of the insects that they hit with his windshield, you know, because, you know, the insects are massive, huge
oh, I remember.
In Florida. Yeah, yeah. That clip always just sticks out to me. That was just a funny one. So, yeah.
All right, so let's go to our favorite cartoon now.
Yay! Yay, Mr. Broccoli Man.
So let me know when you're ready, and we'll do it up. And then I don't know if you played last week's clip on the show, but I was thinking I was going to do a twofer today because it's Two for Tuesday.
We did do Broccoli.
Okay.
That whole gender thing, oh, my goodness. Okay, let me get on here, and...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay, looks like I'm going to have an ad.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So, a Broccoli Man debate with millennials and G-Globalists. And I think you'll appreciate the background.
Awesome.
So I'll count it down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Thank you. Welcome to another debate. Our sponsor tonight is Live on the Kfar Mafia Digital. We want to remind everyone it is Money Fox season. Get your weekly dose of the Money Fox gene therapy so we can help reduce population together. Remember, Live on the also sells the suicide pods. If you really want to help us get your zero carbon, you can purchase a cask today and get right into a Live on the suicide pod. Today on our panel, we have the absolute worst interview ever. We have cisgendered white male right-wing extremist Broccoli Man.
That was very disrespectful and us.
We are going to very closely monitor your speech tonight. If you say anything we do not like, we have two policemen standing right behind Broccoli Man. They have complete control and authority to do whatever they want with Broccoli Man. They can handcuff him, tase him, pistol whip him, or even kill him on the stage. We also have the millennial point of view.
I will have you know that my birthing partner is the best girlfriend I ever had in my life. Oh dear, I can't believe I did it already.
Now, Mike, we already told you to watch your expletives. We are on live television. Hundreds of people will watch this debate.
Yes, I understand, Martha. I am so very sorry for using a profanity and also for calling my Griffin a gender. I love her so much.
Anyway, let's get back to introductions. We have the correct point of view, and he happens to be the sponsor of this debate. We have the founder and president of Isonica Pharmaceuticals, G. Libelist.
I despise you all. We are going to microchip all of you and then bring you to FEMA camps.
Okay, let's start the first question. G. Libelist, you are first. What can you tell us about Moneypox?
Thank you, Martha. We have created a bunch of viruses to try and get rid of you 99% pieces of excrement. Of course, we will not put this on the smell-o-vision so that you trained seals will not know what we are doing. We demand maximum compliance so we can microchip and decease the population.
Broccoli Man, are you going to agree with this like we told you to do?
No, I do not believe that to be.
Okay, let me move to the millennials. What do you think about the Moneypox?
We do not believe in the conspiracy theories about the rich wanting to kill the population. We get our gene therapies every single time Elizaga microchip says to get it. I have only had 9 heart attacks and have COVID 7 times now so far. But it would be much worse if we did not get our gene therapies.
My birthing partner has been trying to get me pregnant. She does not want anyone else to know she is a woman with the largest banana I have ever seen. Her junk is much larger than mine. I want to make sure I breastfeed the brand new non-binary baby. So I will get whatever gene therapies the science tells me to get. I don't want to get COVID again. I have only 12 heart attacks and had COVID 14 times since getting my gene therapies. If someone tells you that the rich elites are trying to kill everyone on the planet so they can have it to themselves, they're fools. People like me, Lobelist loves people and would not try to kill people. That is why they give us these gene therapies for free.
Don't you need breasts to breastfeed your baby?
It's obvious you are something a current but never taken a science class. You're a dumb boomer.
Broccoli Man, that was extremely rude to the trans community. We ordered you to shut up and agree with us. It is science.
Mr. Broccoli is adult. He is not willing to understand that we are manipulating the education system and make the population believe our brainwashing. Today's population is a bunch of fools that will believe every single thing we tell them to believe.
Okay, next question. Should everyone still wear scams since we are still in emergency protocol?
If there is a climate emergency, why are you forcing people to wear scams? How will scam wearing help Earth's climate?
You're a cisgendered bomber and a stupid. We should always listen to what G. Lobelist tells us to wear scams. G. Lobelist knows the best about how to handle emergencies.
Whenever we have a new gene therapy coming out, we will always force everyone to wear scams. It teaches everyone to live in fear. When there is mass hysteria and fear, these 99% nincompoops like these millennials will do absolutely everything we say. Sometimes we demand they wear scams because they are dumb stupid aminals that we control because we feel like it.
When G-Lobalist says to wear scams, I do it. He is one of the richest people in the world. He knows how we 99% need his help.
You are doing the right thing, Sugar. Next question. Klaus Schwab says we need to stop driving cars right now. We also need to stop eating meat to save the planet. He is demanding that we kill all the cows and instead we all need to eat the bugs. Millennials, are you going to help by listening to Klaus Schwab and eat the bugs instead of meat?
We are going to save the planet. I will eat some bugs and drink their water so that the 1% can help save us.
We go to Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology. SHIT is the best test school for liberal studies.
We are the 1% of the 1%. We can do what we want. We need to have you 99% dolts to give up your petrol, your cars, your meat, and your housing so we can own all of the farmland and use the private jets as we wish.
I promise when I finally get pregnant, if this baby is born with a banana, I will have it chopped off so I can help with the Great Reset.
Okay, everyone. That is it for tonight's debate. Please support Lizanica and get your freedom microchips, and also please consider getting a Lizanica suicide pod. Thank you, everyone.
You brought me here to not even talk in the debate?
Yes, because we need to show how no one wants to hear you, MAGA fans. Now please go with the police so they can consider bringing you to the FEMA camp. That does not exist.
All right, so that was an episode.
Okay.
Out of all the episodes I ever did, that is one of them.
Well, I missed the little green dude. I miss him. He didn't speak much. So.
Well, that was on purpose because that's what mainstream media does.
Yeah. Of course it does. Yeah.
So we have the one that I did last week.
Okay.
Since I didn't get to play that on Tuesday.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
I don't know how I can get more people to watch these. I've been working hard for years trying to get these cartoons out.
No.
What?
I would wear a t-shirt with a picture of broccoli on it, something like Broccoli Man Saves the Day or just. Something like that with www.freedomizer.com on the back. You know, something like that or just a really catchy, just something that would...
You wouldn't wear a shirt with the wiretap logo on it saying, "I'm looking for kumquats"?
Yeah, I would. I most certainly would.
All right.
I would wear that. And you know what? People, that's the kind of thing that people would stop and ask about.
Okay.
You know, like, excuse me. Can you explain your shirt? You know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do on that. But this one here, the episode we're going to play is called Saving the Planet.
Okay.
So let me know when you're ready on that.
All right. I am ready.
All right. So I'll count down. 3,
okay.
2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. We need to get you off these mean streets. Brandon announced to the 99% that you nincompoops know something that cares are under a climate emergency lockdown. Only the 1% are allowed outside, green dude. I am now required to take your red list peoples to the FEMA camp that does not exist. Especially if you dumb did support MAGA.
Hey, that's great. Well, nice seeing you again. I am going to patrol these streets like I do every other day. See you later, wiretap.
Perhaps you did not understand the words coming out of my tentacles, sir. We have a climate emergency, You are hereby required by martial law to keep the kadunkadunkdunk inside your residence. Now that you are out galavanting around, and you are part of the 99%, I am going to drop you off at the local FEMA camp that does not exist.
Do you think I care about what you tell me? Just because you work for G-Lobalist does not mean anything to me. I do not listen to people that are pedos and are into child sex trafficking.
You bi-snitch. You keep stepping in it. Why is it you insist that I have to run my hands through your long flowing mane? You keep talking out your bunghole and you leave me no choice but to take it to the proper authorities.
It is against the law to have military on the streets forcing people to stay in their homes forever. I do not comply with unlawful and unjust orders.
Don't worry, Green Dude. We got enough votes from HR7900 to remove posse comitatus and allow military running these streets. We have a group of people being paid to specifically watch you. We are going to force you to join our division and help us crush the 99% while we globally dominate. Or we treat you like a something ducker for real and execute you with extreme hatred and rage.
I do not negotiate with clients of Jeffrey Epstein or friends of Hunter Biden.
That's it, Green Dude. You keep stepping in it. Now not only am I in need of handling your delicious kumquats, I am in need of handling your entire monkey. Why can't you do it, Green Dude?
Do what?
Why can't you do it? Why can't you set your monkey free? All the kids are into it. Do you love your monkey or do you love me?
Well, considering I hate you more than any other person in the world, I will have to say I love my monkey.
You are a complete buzzkill, sir. You are the biggest something ducker for real I ever had to try and take to the FEMA camp. Even though FEMA camps do not exist, we are hereby enforcing our climate emergency so we can justify killing 7 billion people on this earth, sir. We must kill the 99% of the planet to save the planet, sir. We need to euthanize as many people as possible so Earth's climate does not get too hot or too cold.
Oh. I don't follow fake news. The climate changes all year and every year. It is called weather.
Shut that front door right now. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. We absolutely cannot have any of the 99% living as if it's 2019. We need everyone, including you, staying locked inside your residence so we can easily have United Nations troops pick you and every other adult up and drag you to the FEMA camps. Then we must have you select a casket from the Lysnecker suicide pods. By the way, Green Dude, we're demanding you get your money box gene therapies and boosters right this instant. And you need to get the bloody scam on that face. Don't you see on the smell of vision all the gay men getting moneypox? You don't want moneypox. Just like you do not want COVIDs, sir.
Oh, I do not live in fear. That's gonna be a no from me, dog.
Oh, you will live in fear. That's finna be a yes from me, dog. Now I need kumquats right this instant.
Why are you so interested in helping kill 7 billion people? You act like Satan has an expiration date.
Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and Bill Gates are not getting any younger, Green Dude. They have announced that a plan for Agenda 2030 is going to be implemented right now, sir. We must make sure we execute anyone who does not vote Democrat. Democrats are more compliant to big government. Then we can microchip whomever is left and we can detonate in their microchips whenever we feel there are too many malcontents or just because we want to. Klaus Schwab just said we need to get population back to under what it was in the 1400s.
What gives you or Klaus Schwab the right to kill everyone off? Isn't that God's decision?
Hey Beisnich, we make the global Dixons around here. If you want to help make global decisions for our crime syndicate, you must first join our superhero consortium and then work your way up the ranks if you do so choose. but instead, you support MAGA.
Look. All I know is that I am not getting a microchip. I am not getting any gene therapies, and there will be no scams on my face.
Okay, green dude. I will make you a deal. I will not bring you to that FEMA camp, sir. However, you must get your Moneypox gene therapy and Moneypox boosters, your COVID boosters, your gene therapy for COVID and the COVID passport, and for the love of Michael Robinson Obama. You must get the bloody scam on that face.
Never. Like I said, I do not negotiate with globalist pedophiles.
That something tears up, green dude. We are going to make it difficult for anyone who is to play ghetto games such as yourself. We are going to kill all the cows on this planet. Then we can kill all the chickens and pigs. Then we can make sure the fish are too polluted to live. Now we can also ban fertilizer so the farmers cannot grow food. We will make it virtually impossible to live your life. We are already making it very hard for adults as we ban gas and oil. We need all your nincompoops to get electric vehicles so we can turn them off when we do not like your mean tweets. That is what we call freedom, sir.
I promise you. God does not approve of this at all. You are going to pay for crimes of humanity.
You are on the wrong side of history, sir. We are going to kill and destroy every single person, animal, tree, plant, vitamin, insect, molecule or air, and droplet of water. That is what the Great Reset is, sir. We need planet Earth to have absolutely zero on this something that occur. Our powers above us says that we need to remove everything that has carbon in it or can assist carbon in any way. Haven't you seen on our fake news that we are only interested in zero net carbon? The carbon we need to remove is you.
Hey everyone. We do not have to put up with the Great Reset. Get educated. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He shares all the real news of what is going on. You need to find out how to prepare yourself so you do not have to stand in line to scan your microchip to get food. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and you can even call in and talk to Proof. freedomizerradio.com.
Hey Biznich, we are not going to tell everyone to listen to freedomizerradio.com. You are a complete buzzkill, a something that cur, and someone we need to eradicate from this earth. Everyone needs to stay locked up in their residence, eat bugs, and then wait for us to take you to the FEMA camp. That does not exist. You can trust me because I get paid by G. Globalist.
So, you can trust him, right?
Absolutely, of course you can.
So, I hope that one was okay. I know you caught a few references in there.
Absolutely. I loved it. I loved it. I loved the George Michael reference. That was so funny. It was so funny.
I was afraid nobody would get that.
Oh, my gosh. How could they not? That, you know, if you're Gen X, then you heard that song a little overplayed. So, yeah. You know, it's really amazing.
Yeah, well, at least Broccoli Man likes his monkey more than he likes the wiretap.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess he likes the funky, you know.
And I have to admit, I don't know what's going to happen this weekend. I don't know what character is going to come out.
Awesome.
I don't have a plan until about Saturday.
does it all just kind of hit you at once when you start creating? It just, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I just sit there, and then it just comes. And then I have to work with whatever I'm being told to do. Unfortunately, that's how it works.
I think that's pretty awesome. You know, you get in your creative mode, and it just kind of takes place. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but we all should be doing things to try and wake up people.
Yeah, we should. You know, I think people are slowly realizing that, hey, you know, if they haven't figured out, if they haven't started rejecting the boosters now, they haven't started rejecting the boosters, then they're going to boost their way into, we're seeing it. We're seeing it. Look at all these hospital staff that, you know, as soon as the fourth booster rolled out, you know, there's like, hospitals with a couple of people that just like die, just like right there, like 1 minute they're doing good, the next minute they're in the morgue. I guess it's just kind of convenient for them to just fall over dead in the hospital. But you know, what if it's the person doing your surgery, your heart surgery, you know? What if it's a very delicate procedure and the just boosted doctor like heals over right there? You know, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. You know, there's an increase in fatalities in driving, but single passenger fatalities, you know, I mean, how many people get their booster and then pass out?
Well, they're all talking to science.
So many questions. Yeah, I mean, I guess if I believed in science, quotation mark, actually, the science, trademark, quotation mark.
Yeah, and don't forget that the term recession, WikiLeaks had to change over 30 times in a 2-day period.
I saw that. That was very interesting. Very interesting. I've enjoyed watching the press conferences about this.
I got fact-checked and given a community standard strike because I shared an article about how we're in a recession.
There's so much going on. So much corruption, so many things that are happening so fast. Of course, it's really, you know, I knew that things were going to just be in a really bad downward spiral, that this dumpster was on fire and it was going to have to finish burning. And that's what this is. We are living through a dumpster fire. The rest of the other countries, they're looking at us, they're laughing at us. You know, we can't get our stuff together. We've got a drunken rhino, old enough. She's, you know, she shouldn't be making these trips. She should be making a trip maybe to an assisted living facility, and perhaps maybe that's where she lives.
Oh, I was going to say maybe a Betty Ford clinic.
Yeah, a Betty Ford. But you know what? She's just, our liver's probably shot anyway. So, you know, probably has the same doctor as like Keith Richards or something. I don't know.
Well, they have as much adrenochrome as they need.
That's so true. That is extremely true. Yeah. Good luck to them. Oh, my gosh. I just saw this that you sent. Bam.
Which one?
It's under lock and key.
Yeah, that's next.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I just keeping everybody fed. I mean, is a big deal.
Well, these stores are getting tired of having their entire inventory just stolen,
right.
And they can't do a thing about it. So stores in the New York City are now adding a glass case with a lock and key on it to get people to stop stealing spam.
That's sad.
And they're selling it in the store for $5.70 a can. I didn't realize spam was that expensive now.
Well, it's a delicacy in Hawaii, for one thing, but, you know.
Well, that I know, but in the United States, I thought it was like $2.
Well, I mean, with the Biden inflation, you know. And as one, I can remember having spam sandwiches from my Depression-era grandparents, eating potted meat. Thankfully, that was all before the alpha-gal syndrome took effect and made me sick every time I ate meat. But yeah, you know, I remember eating this thing because it was a poor person food, you know, and my grandparents, having lived through the Depression, my grandmother, all her doctor appointments, and, you know, now she would just be diagnosed as a celiac. But like me, like my daughter, like, you know, pretty sure, you know. So my Depression era grandparents, who didn't really have a whole lot of money, they just had a paid off home, you know, they had spam with the 77-cent bread from the store. And it's supposed to be a cheap meat product.
And did you put American cheese on it as well?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was cheap.
Store brand.
Yeah.
Or actually just a block of Velveeta. You know what? Since it was my grandparents, it was government cheese for a while. And
yes.
Yeah. That stuff was good. I don't care what anyone says. It was good cheese.
Well, if you had an old house, you can cook your grilled cheese sandwich on the radiator.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't have those down here, but none of the homes down here have that. But, yeah, that government cheese and spam sandwich. Heck, yeah, I was there. And just for the record, that was good cheese.
No, I understand. Government cheese was good at the time.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, government does not always get things right.
That was the best thing the government ever did, was make cheese.
You know what? I think they should probably go back to that.
Their peanut butter was kind of suspect, but their cheese was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of sus, you know, but the cheese... The cheese was some good stuff. And, you know, if you can have a good conversation with somebody that remembers the government cheese, no one ever complains about it. We just remember it as being really good. I remember eating it with saltines. Store brand saltines. Especially on road trips. To Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Very beautiful there. But yeah, spam. I can't believe how much spam is. Oh my goodness. They go on my Amazon page. I wonder how much it's selling for on there. I have all my groceries delivered to my house. Spam. Well, you can get some spam singles. Spam singles?
Spam singles?
Yeah, you know, like in the same concept is tuna, is the same concept as like a tuna pouch.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. Spam makes oven-roasted turkey in a 12-ounce can.
Turkey you can get spam?
Yeah, you can actually get turkey spam. And you can get jalapeno spam and spam light and hot and spicy spam, hickory spokes. I feel like that guy on the Forrest Gump movie. He's talking about all the different ways to do shrimp.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. You can get jalapeno spam. I had no idea spam was as diversified as it is. Here we are, folks. What do they do? Do they sit in like an office room and think, you know what? I think we could get more consumers if we have a jalapeno spam.
Yeah.
I would like to be in on that conference call. You can buy a spam slicer. How crazy is that?
I do have a spam Hot Wheels truck.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I saw it for a quarter at a yard sale. I couldn't resist it.
Yeah, that's something that's just a little off the wall. That's something I would have too. That's kind of cool. Well, this is a little on the crazy side. You can get spam light. Spam with real Hormel bacon.
I think if you really want to go crazy, you have to buy Hormel's biggest competitor, which is Treat.
You can get some Armor premium lunch meat pork, which is like Armor's brand of spam.
Hormel makes spam. That's right. Okay.
Hormel
yeah.
makes some tamales that you can get in a can. And you can get a spam pattern rectangle pillow cover.
Mm.
And this is taking me down stuff that I really don't want to look at anymore because I feel kind of gross.
All right, so I'm going to switch the topic here.
Yeah.
I want to do something completely different here tonight.
Let's do it.
I found a video of slang of the 1920s.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And before that, I don't know if I want to play the clip tonight, but I wanted to at least mention something else that is in the news. And it is football for a second.
Okay.
But I don't know if you heard, but the Miami Dolphins got caught tampering with Tom Brady. They were trying to get Tom Brady to retire, and then they fired their coach, and the goal was to bring in Tom Brady to be part owner and also be a player. So since Tom Brady was already under contract, the Miami Dolphins got in a huge amount of trouble because they were trying to get Tom Brady to retire and get out of his contract and then go to Miami.
Wow.
Totally not cool. I know you're not a sports person or a Tom Brady person, but I just had to mention because that is actual news.
Wow. I've been so sleep deprived and going through so much. I've really not been following much news. I know there was a golf player on Tucker Carlson tonight.
Oh, Greg Norman.
So I'm not the sharpest. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box tonight. I was up too
You're
late
a few
last night.
Short of a 40.
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah, your right. Elevator's not quite going up to the top today.
All right. Well, you realize that Leslie, the slang of the 1920s. I'm always trying to find new lingo that I could give the wiretap.
I am excited about this because I'm going to use this lingo around my kids. You know, I've learned such words as sus, slay, okay, yes, queen, and bestie. And today I try to throw in the word yeet and the amount of shade my 11-year-old yeeted in my direction with sus.
Okay.
Not sure what I said right there, but I think I said that she disapproved of me using the word yeet.
All right. So
I'm
let's,
excited about
let's
these 20s
the slang
of words.
The 20s here. I'm going to hit play right now.
Awesome.
There's one thing about the 1920s that I've been neglecting. Slang. Slang is absolutely a part of the pop culture of a time period and can sometimes give hints as to what life was like then. In this video, I just want to talk about individual slang words and phrases and how to use them correctly. Oftentimes, when trying to reenact or portray a time period, certain slang words are overused or overrepresented. And I want to do my part to introduce real slang that were in mainstream use in the 1920s. Some of the most overrepresented slang from the 1920s are those used by gangsters and criminals. But of course, they made up only a small percentage of the total population. However, with that said, slang in general was mostly only used by certain groups of people, generally young people who are up to date with the trends. And one more thing, most people already know this, but I still want to mention that most of the time, mainstream slang from the 1920s carried over into the following decades and was often still used into the 1940s. So, with all those formalities out of the way, let's get into the words. First, dough. Not dough for baking, of course, but money. This usage of dough can be heard in many, many popular songs from the 1920s. This slang had been in use for many decades prior, but really became commonplace in the 1920s in America. Because traditionally, it was common to earn one's living by making bread, it isn't all that surprising that dough became a word to refer to money. Similarly, bread also became a slang for money as well. Next we have vamp. This meant a woman who was very good at seducing men and casting them under her spell to do what she wants. Not one of the most socially progressive slang words of the 1920s, but it was nonetheless very common in entertainment and media. This word was taken from the type of stock character often used in film in the 1910s and 1920s, who were also referred to as vamps. They lured the main male character and seduced him in order to gain control of him. The most famous vamp actress was Theda Bara, who was a movie sensation in the 1910s, most famously in Cleopatra in 1917. Next is chic. A chic was a man who was very charming, handsome, and masculine. Really, it just refers to the ideal image of a man at that time. As a bonus, the female equivalent was Sheba, though I personally have not encountered this very often in 1920s media, and it seems that chic was far more common, but I thought I would just throw that one in too. This usage of chic can be traced back to a specific film. The Chic, starring Rudolph Valentino as the title character, was released in 1921 to massive popularity. Women swooned over Valentino, who was considered by many to be physically irresistible. Chic originally meant, more specifically, a handsome man on a lustful prowl, as Valentino did in the film, and Sheba was the woman he lusted after. But chic soon began to take on the much more general meaning of an attractive man. The film and the subsequent use of chic as a slang word were both heavily influenced by the popular fascination with exotic things in the 1920s as well. Next is the exclamation, "and how." Essentially, this just means that you agree with whatever someone else just said. Think of it as a more casual way to say indeed. "And how" was always used as a response, usually an enthusiastic one. Here's an example using the previous word we just learned. One woman says, "My, he is simply a chic," and the other woman would reply, "And how." This is a shortened version of the longer response, "and how he is a chic." The next phrase is more commonly associated with the 1930s, I think, though it was certainly used in the 1920s as well. Putting on the Ritz meant to dress very fancy or fashionably. The Ritz refers to the prestigious and swanky Ritz Hotel located in Paris and London, which was where the most illustrious members of high society gathered. This phrase was immortalized in the classic Irving Berlin song, "Puttin' on the Ritz," which was first published in 1929. Then used in a famous musical film of the same name starring Fred Astaire in 1930. Similarly, ritzy became commonly used to refer to something fancy, lavish, or elegant. Next is the very old-fashioned sounding ragamuffin. This simply meant a person who looks bedraggled, messy, or dirty. For example, you might refer to Charlie Chaplin's famous tramp character as a ragamuffin. Hobos and delinquents were not uncommon sights in the cities in the 1920s, so calling someone a ragamuffin might imply that they look like a homeless person. The exact origin of this word is not very clear, but it is known that it likely originated in England centuries before the 1920s. Linguistically, the rag part clearly refers to something being ragged or resembling a rag, but the muffin part is a mystery. Next is another not-so-appropriate word for women. Tomato was used to describe a woman who was ready for the picking. Take that as you will, but really, it just referred to a very attractive woman and was used very generally. Even in the context of the 1920s, this word seems pretty lowbrow, and in later media, it was used by many working-class men. For example, in the old-time radio show Duffy's Tavern in the 1940s, the main character, a bartender, used tomato very often, and he certainly was no intellectual.
That shines on your hair bright and fair, from midnight till dawn.
Finally, we've come to a word that might not sound so dated. The phrase "wet blanket" referred to someone who was a killjoy, a buzzkill, someone who would ruin a lively party. I know I've heard this used in movies made after the 1950s. This one lasted quite a long time. In case you don't understand what the phrase implies, it was common to use a wet blanket to put out a fire. And fire and hot in 1920s slang meant something fun or energetic. So the wet blanket would dampen or put out the good times that everyone else was having. Here's another very dated sounding word, whoopee. This was most commonly used as making whoopee. This could mean having a really good time or having a really good time, if you know what I mean. Of course, that's one of the most euphemized subjects in most languages, and this was probably the most common way to say it in the 1920s, if you wanted to keep it on the lowdown. This phrase was probably most famously used in the song Makin' Whoopee, which was recorded by many musicians and singers in the 1920s, including Eddie Cantor, Eddie Walters, Paul Whiteman with Bing Crosby, George Olsen, and Rudy Valley. Another thing you would really want to keep quiet about in public in the 1920s was alcohol. There were many, many slang words about drinking at that time. So if you wanted to refer to people or yourself being drunk, you would probably have used fried. Other ways to say drunk might have included smoked, bent, zozzled, and ossified. Though I think fried was definitely one of the most commonly used. The reason why there were so many different words for liquor and being drunk was because you wouldn't want to use the same words for too long lest the police should catch on. Even though I said I wouldn't overrepresent gangster or criminal slang too much, I have to include one. If you thought someone was trying to bump you off, you must have been in a load of trouble because that meant someone wanted you dead. To bump off became very common in pulp literature of the time, as well as among real-life gangsters who were caught in a violent feud with a rival mob boss. This also became quite a popular phrase after the advent of talking pictures in the very popular genre of gangster films in the 1930s and 40s. Maybe you remember your grandparents or your parents saying, "I need my cheaters," or maybe you've even used this before. Most of you probably already know that this refers to glasses. There's really not much to explain about this one. Your eyes aren't good enough by themselves, so you need to cheat a little bit to see better. Another word used throughout the period of the 1920s through the 1940s was hot. But this should not be confused with the other usage of hot, meaning lively, as in hot jazz. The other meaning was stolen. For example, let's say you go to a pawn shop and you want to sell a watch, but the shopkeeper is suspicious of you. He might say, "I don't buy hot watches." Petty crime was widespread throughout the 1920s, especially pickpockets who would strip you of your wallet or jewelry before you even realized it was gone. The 1920s was full of middle and upper class people who wanted to flaunt their wealth through expensive accessories, a perfect jackpot for petty thieves. Continuing with the example from the last word, let's go back to that pawn shop again. The shopkeeper says he doesn't accept hot watches. Maybe you would say, "This watch isn't hot, I just want to hawk it." To hawk something meant simply that you wanted to pawn it for some quick cash. Of course, pawn shops were the first place a petty thief would go once he had claimed his prize, so pawn shop owners had every right to be suspicious, though they usually wouldn't care too much since it was impossible to know if the thing being hawked was hot or not. Okay, let's move away from crime and pawn shops and get back to the fun times. Imagine it's the late 1920s. You're a young adult male. If your friend invites you to a petting party, he would probably be a little bit shocked if you said no. Petting parties were get-togethers of men and women, ranging from small to large groups. At these parties, there would be a lot of petting, which could mean anything from kissing and caressing to, well, whoopee. But maybe it wouldn't have been so crazy if you turned down an offer to a petting party, since your reputation among your family could have been damaged if they found out you were doing such seedy activities. The conservative older generation still would have condemned even the tamest petting parties that consisted of excessive kissing and playful flirting. For this next one, I think most people watching this video now probably know what a bob hairstyle was. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this photo may clear things up. The bob haircut, or the more specific Dutch bob hairstyle, was an iconic style of the 1920s. It symbolized a modern woman who was ready to take on the world and enjoy the pleasures of life, which could vary from person to person, but generally meant parties, dancing, and flirting. Bobbed hair became so associated with flappers that it still conjures up that image even to this day. But like petting parties, the simple act of bobbing your hair could have social consequences, especially when it came to the older generation. For some insight into this possible conflict, I recommend the 1920 short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald titled Bernice Bobs Her Hair.
And 50 kisses every night we're rehearsing the answer you see.
Next is a nonsensical word that probably originated in black communities but spread later on. Having the heebie-jeebies meant that you were shaking or trembling from some kind of negative emotion or feeling like fear or an unknown sickness. Maybe you just watched Nosferatu for the first time, and you felt the hairs on your neck stand on end. Yep, you've got a case of the heebie-jeebies. A side note, this phrase was the title of a famous record from 1926 by the legendary jazz cornetist and trumpeter Louis Armstrong. And last, we have the simplest one of all. It. Maybe you've got it, or maybe you don't. But many people certainly thought Clara Bow had it. It meant sex appeal. It had nothing to do with your social standing or your money or your talent. If you were attractive and had a playful, likable personality and naturally exuded sensuality effortlessly, then you had it. This usage of it was popularized in the 1927 film simply called It, starring Clara Bow, who became the poster child for the concept of it. You either have it or you don't, and that's that. I hope you enjoyed this video and learned some practical slang words and phrases from the 1920s, just in case you really want to act the part at your next 1920s themed event without being over the top, or maybe because you just like using vintage slang. Whatever your reason, maybe someday you'll be in a situation where you can use some of these words and impress your friends or family. If they think it's interesting, then you're hanging out with the right kind of people. Well, that's all for now, all you sheiks and gals out there, but stay tuned for more tales from the Jazz Age.
So I hope that was worthwhile.
Yeah, that was really, really interesting. Really interesting. You know, I'm fascinated by that era of time, especially Chicago and learning more about that time. There's so much. And for reference, Taco did a cover of Putting on the Ritz.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was in the 80s, I guess. Was it? Yeah.
In 1983.
But I guess there's some versions that are Creative Commons now. If we ever chose to do something like that. There's a lot of... I've spent a lot of time looking at the covers of certain different flapper magazines and just really, really taking a good look at this era. It's fascinating. You know, love the hair and the glamour and the style, and I think it's just very interesting.
And just think, at some point, people are going to look at the 1980s like this.
Well, with all those leotards and neon spandex, you can't miss the 80s.
We can't complain about Richard Simmons like that.
Oh my gosh, I loved him when he would just show up on Dave Letterman and run around the audience and then leave. He'd do that every once in a while. Forgot about that. That's funny.
With between him and what, Larry Melman?
Yes, exactly.
Larry Bud Melman.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
I can't name you one thing about late night TV shows nowadays, but I could tell you about that.
You know what? I couldn't either. But yeah, I could tell you about David Letterman from back then. But Johnny Carson. You know, did you play that clip where Dana Carvey was doing impersonation?
Right. Yes.
Yes, I loved it when he did his impersonation of Carson. I just cried. It is so funny. So funny. Sometimes I'll go back and watch the old Carson shows. And I do love these bob hairstyles that these ladies wore. And the style, the way the dresses are and the makeup and just all of it, I think it's just so amazing. I'm looking at them now. They really put a lot of effort into this look.
So let me share this one with you here. I think you'll appreciate this one. I actually was saving this for you.
Okay.
So there's an LA County supervisor that was really upset because she wanted to have scam mandates back.
Oh.
And everybody that was in power in Beverly Hills and Long Beach and all the neighboring cities that were part of LA County, but they were not Los Angeles, they told the county supervisor literally nobody was interested in forced scam wearing again. So the LA County supervisor, Sheila Kuhl, said those who oppose forced scamming are snowflake weepies.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand that terminology, but she did say, and even I, as a nonprofit founder that deals with this, she is contending that it is more oppressive to ask an individual to wear shoes than to force them to wear a scam. So even I think have to say that that's a bit much.
I you know what? Good. Good for the people of California to stand up. Because at some point in time, people are going to get fatigued. Even some of my biggest Fauci fans 2 years ago are sharing some of the funniest anti-Fauci memes. I can tell they're done. They're sick of it.
Dr. Prodi came out recently and complained that if they tried to force hard mandates against us, that we wouldn't listen. We're not smart enough to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Here I am after I was promised. After I was promised a deadly winter without the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really busy. Or someone that's supposed to be dead, you know? You too. You know? I can think of a lot of people that did not have the winter that was predicted by the Biden administration. They really dropped the ball with their predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
So, yeah, I don't care if somebody calls me a snowflake weepy. I'm not wearing a scam.
Yeah,
I don't even know what a snowflake weepy is supposed to be, but whatever.
That sounds
if
like...
If somebody thinks that they're a better person than me because they could force people to wear scams, then whatever cools them off at night, I guess. Whatever bedtime story they have to read, I'm okay with.
Yeah. Well, I think people are just kind of tired. I just see people, the forever maskers, and they'll be masking until they can't do it anymore. You know, you're better off wearing your dirty underwear over your face than a mask that you've worn every day or for the last few hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So I do want to play the Russell Brand that he made today. So that's coming next.
Okay, good.
This one's called "You're Not Going to Like This."
Okay.
As whistleblowers from the NIH, FDA, and CDC speak out, the COVID narrative is falling apart. Yet those of you who for a long time have suspected we weren't being told the whole truth are conspiracy theorists, right? Hello there, you 5.8 million awakening wonders. Thank you for joining me on this voyage towards truth. We ride upon the waves of your strength, your glory, your optimism. It's you that's going to change the world, not them. You don't need to be frightened anymore. The great power that you've always known within you is being unlocked, and as we unify, the change will come. 5.8 million of us can't all be wrong, can we? Probably, I mean, if we were drunk enough or silly enough or distracted or something, perhaps by the mainstream media, who are determined to lay out false and distracting narratives continually, particularly around the issues where clarity and transparency are most necessary. Today I'm going to be telling you how whistleblowers from the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, the NIH, and the CDC, all have people coming forward to talk to a prominent and respected Johns Hopkins scientist about the way that information has been repressed and mismanaged and mishandled. In this instance, primarily around the recommendation for vaccines for children, but not just that, across the whole scope of this two-year-long pandemic. And if there's any doubt that there's been any confusion at all, just look at these statements and see if you can spot any contradiction.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Tonight, President Biden testing positive for COVID-19 yet again.
Oh, it is confusing, isn't it? You definitely won't get COVID. I've got COVID. Am I better yet?
But before we trust what I've got to say on this issue, I, after all, am a former celebrity and drug addict. Let's see what our old friends, the mainstream media, have got to say on it.
Some breaking news from the FDA at this hour. That agency just authorized Pfizer COVID booster shots for kids aged 5 to 11.
Got to be good for them, then. It must be necessary. There can't be any other reason that they would recommend it, can there?
Up until now, the one hole in the vaccine protection blanket in the United States has been for children 5 years old and younger.
Oh, that's been the main hole in the blanket. There's only been one hole. Not a hole where Pfizer said they're not going to release files for 75 years. Not a hole where yellow card reactions were never discussed. Not a hole where natural immunity was repressed. Not a hole where they said the vaccines were 100% effective, then not effective. Not a hole where Paxlovid was said to be 40% effective, then was revealed to be 2% effective. It's not a blanket. It's a pair of fishnet tights, love. It's what you got there.
They couldn't get them, leaving many parents frustrated.
I know, if only Sesame Street would jump on this and mentally bludgeon us.
Getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
The FDA authorized vaccine boosters for children ages 12 to 15 on Monday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, God. The old fishnet stockings are becoming more reliable. The blanket is finally closing. The mainstream media, along with the government and big business, in particular Big Pharma, have done it again. They've come together to help us, the people. That's what they do, right?
The agency says everyone in that age group can now get a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
Notice how you use the word can. Not ought or should, or it would be beneficial that.
They only have to say can at this point because I've spent the last 2 years terrifying us into thinking it's the only possible solution. Now, I'm not saying that vaccines don't work. I'm not saying that you should ignore the government. I'm not saying that there are not benefits to the marvels of modern medicine, to the ingenuity of the scientific community. I'm simply saying that in the case of children, there may be some counter-arguments. Not my counter-arguments, the bloke that was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Forget that guy, who needs him? I'm talking about Marty Makary, professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Listen to his arguments, then get this, decide for yourself.
This week, the Brooklyn Nets and Pfizer invited dozens of children from Brooklyn-based community groups to the Barclays.
Good old Pfizer, there they are, just helping kids do basketball. What's our main objective at Pfizer this year?
Well, personally, I would just like to see more kids playing basketball.
Are we going to get any return on that?
Well, no, just to see the kids playing basketball.
To the Barclays to improve their basketball skills.
Just improve their basketball skills? You mean that's it? Come on, there's got to be something.
Well, I suppose we could push for the fourth vaccine booster.
Keep talking.
Fifth?
Come on. Sixth? How about 666, the number of the beast? Let's get everybody vaccinated, baby!
Obviously, I'm having a bit of fun there, and you must always make your own health decisions because you are a responsible, brilliant person. You've got this far. You've overcome the many obstacles in your life that you've gone through that no one will ever know that you've surmounted. You don't need me to tell you what to do. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. But here's some information from Marty Makary, who I think he's some sort of conspiracy theorist over at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. If I'm right, David Icke and Alex Jones set up the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and Marty Makary, he just works there. Also, Dr. Tracy Beth Hoeg, an epidemiologist affiliated with the Florida Department of Health, which I believe was set up on a grassy knoll by Lee Harvey Oswald. Doctors and scientists at the top levels of the NIH, FDA and CDC are variously frustrated, exasperated and alarmed about the direction of the agencies to which they've devoted their careers. That's not what you want, is it, when you've devoted your career to something? How do you feel about devoting your career to that agency? Well, I'm sort of frustrated, exasperated and alarmed. Welcome to the firm. Right now, internal critics of these agencies are focused on one issue above all. Why did the FDA and the CDC issue strong blanket recommendations for COVID vaccines in children? Blanket and children have not been at so much risk since the death of Michael Jackson. 3 weeks ago, the CDC vigorously recommended mRNA COVID vaccines for 20 million children under the age of 5. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, declared that the mRNA COVID vaccine should be given to everyone 6 months or older because they are safe and effective. The trouble is that this sweeping recommendation was based on extremely weak and inconclusive data provided by, wait for it, Pfizer and Moderna. This sweeping recommendation, was it based on strong and conclusive data? Oh no, it was extremely weak and inconclusive data. Well, thank God the recommendations are sweeping then. Start with Pfizer. Using a three-dose vaccine in 992 children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years, Pfizer found no statistically significant evidence of vaccine efficacy. Let me say that again. No statistically significant evidence. In the subgroup of children aged 6 months to 2 years, the trial also found that the vaccine could result in a 99% lower chance of infection, but that they could also have a 370% increased chance of being infected. In other words, Pfizer reported a range of vaccine efficacy so wide that no conclusion could be inferred. So it's not that the vaccine definitely does nothing, but it certainly isn't that it definitely does something. Is that following the science to make a recommendation on that basis? No reputable medical journal would accept such sloppy and incomplete results with such a small sample size. More to the point, these results should have given pause to those who are in charge of public health. Now, I should point out that Professor Marty Makary has been inundated with communication from former staff members at the FDA, NIH and CDC since publishing in Newsweek. We did a video about that article. I'll link to it at the end. Since then, whistleblowers have been reaching out. We're in disarray. It's chaos here. You can check out the article on Substack for yourself. We'll put a link in the description. This is amazing information from Marty Makary, what I would call a proper scientist who is following data in order to reach conclusions and pose further questions, not simply making recommendations which, here's a wacky coincidence, make a profit for Pfizer and Moderna. That's weird, because they're the people that funded the study. Wow! Moderna's results, they conducted a study on 6,388 children with two doses, were not much better.
Against asymptomatic infections, they claimed a very weak vaccine efficacy of just 4% in children aged 6 months to 2 years. They also claimed an efficacy of 23% in children between 2 and 6 years old, but neither result was statistically significant. Against symptomatic infections, Moderna's vaccine did show efficacy that was statistically significant, but the efficacy was low, 50% in children aged 6 months to 2 years and 42% in children between 2 and 6 years old. What I believe is that the mainstream media, the government, and Big Pharma ought to be giving you access directly to that information. I'm not recommending, of course, why the hell would I, that you would vaccinate your children or not vaccinate your children on the basis of this information. I would simply see it as my job to tell you that information, and then you decide. I have children, and I can look at that information, and I can make a decision about what I would do with my own children and what I will do with my children. I believe that you have the same right to do that. And you might make a different choice than me. And that's all right. That's okay. That doesn't make me bad or you bad or anyone bad. We certainly don't need to fight each other over that. What we should be uniting over is the right to have direct access to that information so we can make our own decisions. You might have a different family to me. You might have grown up in a family of doctors. You might deal with levels of sickness that I can only imagine. Or I might know stuff about my family's personal health and personal circumstances that might make me come to a different outcome. That doesn't make me bad or you bad. Why would we focus on that? Why was the whole 2 years of the pandemic devoted to condemning people that had a different perspective, that had doubts about it? Or, you know, vice versa. Why condemn anybody? Why do that? Why spend our limited time here on this planet when we're supposed to be awakening together, condemning one another, while truly malevolent forces continue to succeed? Then there's the matter of how a long vaccine gives protection. We know from data in adults that it's generally a matter of months, but we have no such data for young children. And yet the FDA and the CDC pushed it through. That slap in the face of science may explain why only 2% of parents of children aged under 5 have chosen to get the COVID vaccine, and 40% of parents in rural areas say their pediatricians did not recommend the COVID vaccine for their children. That's how medicine used to be practiced, didn't it? You would go and see your doctor if you trusted your doctor would make a recommendation, you'd go with the doctor. It used to be like a political issue. Oh no, I don't feel well. For God's sake, get the president on the phone. Like, America was going to be founded on individual freedom, state freedom, community freedom, the right to pursue happiness. These are the values that belong not only to America, but I would argue to humanity as a whole. Make your own decisions. Allow people to live their own lives. Be who you are. Run your community how your community wants to be run according to democratic consensus. Not top-down edicts that come from the WEF or the WHO or the CDC or the NIH. Give us the information. Let us decide. This isn't the first time that COVID vaccine recommendations based on scant evidence have been pushed through these agencies. You're right about that, baby. Most recently, back in May, the lack of clinical evidence for booster shots in young people created a stir at the FDA. The White House promoted it hard even before FDA regulators had seen any data. If it isn't based on data, then what the hell has all this follow the science stuff been about? They were making recommendations before they'd seen the data. They were condemning unvaccinated people. Oh, follow the science, follow the science. You follow the science. Let us follow the science. Give us the science. We'll follow it for ourselves. Anything other than that is propaganda at best and tyranny at worst. And that's why people are cynical. And that's why people are frustrated. And that is why people want change. That's why people don't trust the media. That's why people don't trust the government. That's why they don't trust Big Pharma. It's not complicated. Once they saw the data, they weren't impressed. Oh, it showed no clear benefit against severe disease for people under 40. Is that the data that you're following? Is that the science you're inviting us to follow? The FDA's two top vaccine regulators, Dr. Marion Gruber, director of the FDA's vaccine office, and her deputy director, Dr. Philip Krause, quit the agency last year over political pressure to authorize vaccine boosters in young people. Their own people are quitting because they feel pressurized. They feel that they are unable to follow the science. So what we were told was science was in fact political pressure. The same way as 100 years ago or 200 years ago, you'd be invited to follow a particular religious orthodoxy. This is the truth, this is the truth. Burn them at the stake. Can we look at the facts? Can we follow the date? It's all there in this old book. Can we read it? Sorry, it's in a language you don't understand. Tell me how the science orthodoxy isn't the same. If it's not based on transparent data available to all people so they can make decisions for themselves, how is that different from the kind of orthodox dogma that the secular project, i.e. having the state responsible for organizing people's political life rather than
crazy old-fashioned religious stuff. How is it any different? After their departure, they wrote scathing commentaries explaining why the data did not support a broad booster authorization, arguing in the Washington Post that the push for boosters for everyone could actually prolong the pandemic, citing concerns that boosting based on an outdated variant could be counterproductive. These are not anti-vaxxers. These are scientists. These are people that probably fight to the death for the right to give people medicines that are effective. They've devoted their careers to effective medicine. This is not anti-science. This is not anti-doctors, medicine, research, data, double-blind testing, clinical conditions. This is not against that. This is against propaganda and tyranny that's been framed as science in order to prevent reasonable discourse, public debate, and personal autonomy. So let's call it what it is. If you agree with me, give this video a thumbs up, let me know in the comments, and share this video around. One subject these doctors and scientists feel passionately about but feel they cannot bring up is natural immunity. Why, they wonder, are we insisting on immunizing children who already have some immunity to the disease due to having contracted COVID? Why can that not be part of the conversation? Why are scientists not able to express their opinion? Like, even if they're wrong, why not allow it to be expressed so that the conversation can happen publicly? I know a lot of you guys say when you cut out a man's tongue, you just show the world you're afraid of the truth, he has to say. Do the proper comment below. I've mangled it up. As of February, 75% of children in the US already had natural immunity from prior infection. It could easily be over 90% of children today, given how ubiquitous Omicron has been since then. The CDC's own research shows that natural immunity is better than vaccinated immunity, and a recent New England Journal of Medicine study from Israel has questioned the benefits of vaccinating previously infected persons. Many countries have long credited natural immunity towards vaccine mandates, but not the US. There you go. What science do you want to follow? If you don't allow people to have access to that kind of information and make their own decisions, do you know what I start to think? You've got an agenda, and that agenda is based on profit and power. And that's the agenda you're pursuing, and that's why people are leaving the FDA, and that's why people are leaving the CDC and NIH, because they're not all baddies and villains. And I'm not suggesting there is any malevolent, unhuman, occultist thing going on. I don't know. How could I know? But when you prevent and stifle proper debate and transparency, then people do start to think that something strange is going on. I don't blame people for thinking that. In this, the leaders of the American health agencies made the US an international outlier in how it treats children. Sweden never offered vaccination to children under 12. Finland limits COVID vaccines to children under 12 who are at high risk. Right, so a sensible decision is made. These children are at risk, we recommend it. Oh, wouldn't it be more profitable if we vaccinate all children? Yeah, but it'll be unnecessary and you'll lose the trust of the population. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health has appropriately stated that some children may benefit, but previous infection offers as good of protection as the vaccine against reinfection. Follow the science. Denmark announced on June the 22nd that its recommendation to vaccinate any children under the age of 16 was a mistake. Wow, that sounds like proper government coming out of Denmark. We made a mistake, we're sorry, we're wrong, this is the truth as we understand it best now. The vaccinations were not predominantly recommended for the child's sake, but to ensure pandemic control, said Søren Brostrøm, head of the Danish Ministry of Health. Well, as long as you can guarantee that that is the reason to prevent the pandemic spreading, and not in order to generate profits, and not just as a reflexive response to get power or power is accessible, then I think you can have an open discourse with the people that you've elected to serve you. But when you see Joe Biden say, or Fauci say, oh, you won't get the disease if you have this vaccine, then they go, I've got the disease, you have to acknowledge that something's changed. Hey, we were wrong. So now, going forward, we're going to be honest. You tell me in the comments below why you think they can't come forward and say that. The leaders of the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH should welcome internal discussion, even dissension, based on evidence. Silencing physicians is not following the science. Less absolutism and more humility by the men and women running our public health agencies would go a long way in rebuilding public trust. Well there, these two doctors, Marty Makary and Tracy Beth Hoeg, in my opinion, are approaching this subject in exactly the right way. Transparency, honesty, openness, science, empiricism, communication, trust and faith in individual decisions. That is the kind of science that I want to follow. I want to follow science that is based on helping people, not science that could be based on making a profit and increasing centralized power. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Let me know if you'd like to see Marty Makary on our show so that we could talk to them directly. Let me know if that's what you want. Give this video a thumbs up. Show it to anyone you think would benefit from it. You know you have these conversations all the time with people that have a different perspective. Show them this information. Let's move this conversation forward sensibly, inclusively, without condemning anyone, because we're all different and we all look at the world in different ways. But I believe there is a unitary force beneath us that bonds us and unites us, and together we can serve that in good faith. Thank you, all 5.8 million of you. If you don't subscribe yet, subscribe right now. Turn on the notification bell, because do you know what? Someone thinks that the algorithm hides these videos. I don't know. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think all sorts of crazy stuff. Sign up to my mailing list. It's right there. More important than any of that stuff, though, is that you please stay free.
All right, so we're going to move on to another clip here. Tucker Carlson wants to discuss how Brandon is the most pro-China president ever, so we're going to hit that right now.
Okay.
Listen to Tucker on this last night.
He's the opposite of a China hawk. He is a toady to China. Since the day Biden was elected, he has helped the Chinese government in ways that no American president has ever even contemplated. A partial list. The administration helped cover up the origins of COVID, even after it became very clear that this global pandemic, which wrecked the American economy, was created by the Chinese military. But we can't mention that because it's racist. Then the White House shut down a counter-espionage program designed to stop Chinese spying, which is endemic in the United States. Then Biden dropped tariffs against Chinese goods. Then he refused to do anything to move critical manufacturing back to the United States. And at the same time, he's literally selling our strategic oil reserves to China in the middle of a domestic energy crisis, and by the way, handing our entire energy grid over to the government of China. And then, to top it off, today, the Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby, who acts as the White House spokesman, all of a sudden, for some reason, said this, quote, "We do not support Taiwan independence." When was the last time a White House said that? No, they don't say that. Now they are saying it. We don't think Taiwan's its own country. Okay. So on every level, meaningfully on the policy levels that matter, Biden has been more pro-China than any president, and yet he seems to want a war with China now.
It's the problem is the Chinese Communist Party knows all this stuff. So the problem is, that's why I ended it there with Tucker, is I don't believe that the Chinese Communist Party credibly believes he wants a war with China. Well, Dan, what's wrong with that? We don't want a war with China. Yes, thank you, we don't. Period. Full stopperoo. The problem is, if China believes we don't want a war with China, it incentivizes China to create war with us. What part of this is hard? The Soviet Union believed Reagan was willing to go to war with them. That's why we never had a war. Is this difficult for the lefties and the media people kissing Biden's ass? Game theory is a very real thing. No one believes that. No one believes that. Xi Jinping feels like he can do whatever he wants. Why? Because this stuff, here's the receipts. Biden has a history of caving on every major issue with China. Every major issue with China. Solar tariffs, selling them our oil from our strategic reserves, kissing their ass with regards to Taiwan. Here it is right here. Here's Biden a while ago. Asked about in a public press conference, asked about if we were going to defend Taiwan. Here he is playing fake tough guy. How do we know it's fake? Stand by. I'll show you in a second. Here's Biden saying, oh, yeah, don't worry. We're going to definitely defend Taiwan. Check this out.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
Okay. You don't think Taiwan and China both saw that? Wow, they've been like, wow, this guy's tough. Real hard ass there, isn't he? Really? Because he's folded on every other major issue, so he's not going to fold on a military conflict in China, which I don't want either. A military conflict over the strait in Taiwan, I don't want that either. But don't say that if you can't back it up. Well, Dan, he's not backing it up. Here's his spokesperson for national security, John Kirby, just yesterday, saying the exact opposite thing about defending Taiwan. Check this out.
We oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence, and we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means.
Peace through strength is a real thing. Nobody believes this guy. He has caved on every single issue with China. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
So it just seems like that they're pushing for that war.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, of course they're going to push for the war. They love war. You know? I mean, anything that keeps people separated, anything that causes a divide.
That's why they have to keep changing definitions, because they want to make people angry on purpose.
Yeah. Well, you know, they keep moving the goalposts. They keep changing definitions. They keep changing things. You know, mm-hmm. So nobody can – everybody's off kilter. Nobody's hearing the same script. You know? So, I mean, but a majority of the people are, you know, they hear the safe and effective narrative. You know, then there's people dying, and it's just a bit much. And it's so amazing how you can take a small group of people and what everybody hears is completely different from what somebody else hears. And you can tell who listens to, say, MSNBC or CNN or Fox. And they're, you know, I mean, they all have their own issues, you know? But as long as there's some war, there will be people divided. I even hesitate to bring it up because I'm not going to be flying the blue and yellow, because I believe there's biolabs. You know, if someone wanted to put some biolabs just a little south of the Rio Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit in Mexico, I'd be kind of angry. Really don't think Greg Abbott would do anything. And then Beto would just be so stoned. Maybe he would drive through it. I don't know. That would be really nice of him to do. He could do that. I would be cool with that. Like, I wouldn't exactly have peace with him, but I'd be good with that, you know. You know, he could do what he does best. But, you know, I don't blame them. We have no business policing the rest of the world. Our soldiers are damaged from all the experimental serums they've been forced to take. Damaged for life.
And they're proud of that, the government. They have no problem.
Yeah,
with
and
that.
They're damaging our children. You know, they're getting so many weird pesticides and so many weird gender-altering chemicals to their body. Of course they don't know if they're male or female. You know, some of these chemicals or some of these alterations are animal DNA. Oh, really? Okay. Maybe that would explain in the whole furry situation, which is insane. Insane and weird. I don't get it. But that's maybe not for us to understand, because we weren't subjected to the experiments that they've had done on them. The children, we're a laughing stock to the rest of the world. And I'm kind of upset because there were some promises made about Nancy Pelosi that are not coming to fruition. So come on, rest of the country, step it up.
I have one more clip I want to get through tonight.
Awesome. Let's do this.
So Buck and Sexton are talking about when the recession is not a recession.
Okay.
If the Biden administration was staffed with serious people, and if Joe Biden had the energy, cognition, and clear synapses in the brain necessary to really understand what's going on here, Clay, I think that they could say to everybody, look, we're in a pandemic. We spent trillions of dollars, and we were in an emergency situation, and we need to get ourselves out of this now, and that is going to require some difficulty, but we're going to make smart decisions. We're going to bring on some business leaders into this White House. There are things they could do. What they have been doing all year is saying, look at all the jobs we created. We're great. This is a great economy. What are you talking about? And the American people are looking at them saying, can't afford my gas, my groceries, or my mortgage, buddy. It's not so great. The question we have to address today is, when is a recession not a recession? And the answer is, when a Democrat is president, that's when all of a sudden a recession is something else. It's a recovery. It's a transition. It's a mitigation measure, whatever. It's something else. It's not actually a recession, especially when you're almost at the August recess and you got a midterm election coming up. Here is just a sense. I mean, they've got Brian Deese, the economic advisor in this White House, who's out there trying to make the case. There are a few people you'll see popping up on TV, not making a compelling case or even a coherent one, trying to tell everybody about how this is not really a recession. Here is what they say sometimes versus other times.
Two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession. It's not the definition that economists have traditionally relied on.
The definition of a recession is a decline in output for two consecutive quarters, or about 6 months.
A recession is just two consecutive quarters of economic decline.
When we talk about the possibility of a recession, what is a recession? A recession is two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters of declining GDP.
Because as you know, it's two consecutive quarters of down GDP.
That signals it is actually a definition of a recession.
I mean, the most common definition of a recession, two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
Even if we don't have two consecutive quarters of negative growth, we might have one quarter of growth so deep that it's classified as a recession.
I mean, Clay, to be fair, if they can redefine the word woman, redefining the word recession is pretty easy in comparison. But I think everybody sees the game here.
If you wonder what the number is going to be, about a week ago, this argument began to be trotted out, that it wasn't a recession until it's officially called a recession by the grand poobahs in charge of economic analysis. And Buck, oftentimes, they don't even make their official statement on recession having arrived until a year after the recession has already been here. So what seems quite clear is, Republicans are going to argue, rightly, that the traditional definition of recession is two straight quarters of declining GDP growth. We already were down 1.6% in quarter one. We're likely going to be down tomorrow, early in the morning, when this number comes out for the second quarter. And when that happens, we'll be in a recession. And what Democrats are afraid of is, we've already got 9.1% inflation. We're sitting at a little over 3 months until the midterm. And in addition to the worst inflation in over 40 years, two generation failed inflation numbers, you're now going to also be able to argue that Biden has led the country into a recession. And so they are desperate to try to adopt this technical version of recession that won't be officially analyzed and determined until after the midterm. So sometime in 2023, all of these, I think it's like eight guys who are sitting on an economics board that analyze all the data and determine whether we've officially hit a recession. Then it'll happen in 2023 when we're likely already moving through the recession and it's not an election year. They don't want to give this ammunition to Republicans.
And the reality that the Democrats don't want to discuss is rates are going up even higher, and the recession that we are in right now, whether it is a technicality or not, is probably going to get worse. You're going to see likely a period of stagflation, so rising or high inflation rates and rising unemployment. That's likely to be the case. So they're trying to do this slow roll, boil the frog in the pot slowly approach to the economic reality we are all in. Here's an economist over at KPMG saying, look, the reality here is that the Biden economy is not good, and it's going
to
get worse.
At the end of the day, the worst mistake would be to allow a repeat of the 1960s and 70s, where we let inflation erode living standards and squeeze profit margins, layoffs compound a vicious cycle that went on for years. That's worse than a recession. It's nothing is good. This is between a rock and a hard place, and there's no way to extract ourselves without there being some pain.
Now, if the Biden administration was staffed with serious people, and if Joe Biden had the energy, cognition, and clear synapses in the brain necessary to really understand what's going on here, Clay, I think that they could say to everybody, look, we're in a pandemic, we spent trillions of dollars, and we were in an emergency situation, and we need to get ourselves out of this now, and that is going to require some difficulty, but we're going to make smart decisions, we're going to bring on some business leaders into this White House. There are things they could do. What they have been doing all year is saying, look at all the jobs we created. We're great. This is a great economy. What are you talking about? And the American people look at them saying, can't afford my gas, my groceries, or my mortgage, buddy. It's not so great.
They're in a really tough spot in this respect, Buck. Two-thirds of the American economy is consumer spending. So if consumers recognize that we're in a recession, which I think consumers have, what happens? People start to spend money less. And this is what you're seeing with the earnings numbers that are coming out. Walmart is always a good approximation of the larger national economy. Remember last year when Walmart came out and said, hey, we're starting to see people trade back to generics a little bit? Instead of buying the expensive brand of peanut butter, they're buying a Walmart version. They're saving a little bit of money. They came out and said that. That was last year, last quarter, I believe. Most recent quarter for Walmart. Stock dropped 10% because they said, people are dialing back spending in a big way. First thing you do is go to generics. Next thing you do is start buying less. And when people are buying less from Walmart nationwide, we're in a recession. And people are behaving like we're in a recession. And we talked about this last night at dinner. I'm really nervous about the housing market.
Yep.
Right? Because just think about it out there. We talked about this last week with Art Laffer, too, economic genius. But there are a lot of people out there, probably many of you listening to us right now, who have 15 or 30-year mortgages in the 2.5% to 3% range. And you might have been thinking, hey, we just had another kid. Maybe it's time to move. I'd like to be in this other neighborhood. Or maybe you're downsizing and you're like, it's time to move. But then you think, wait a minute, in order to move, my overall mortgage is going to go to 6%. Why would I move when I've got a 2.5% or 3% mortgage locked in? And you're starting to see housing prices come back substantially all over the country, even in hot markets.
This is supply and demand. You're going to have fewer possible buyers for all of these houses because they won't be able to afford the financing as the rates rise, as well as the challenge of paying all their other bills, right? Most families are living within a pretty confined
yes.
budget space month to month, and you see these numbers about how many people even have the savings to deal with a $500 emergency nationwide. It's pretty small. But when you have fewer possible buyers in the housing market, you're going to have the effect on price. A lot of people obviously also have seen their equity go up dramatically in their houses in the last couple of years. And now the question is, what are they going to do, right? Those prices are going to be coming down. The housing market could slow down pretty dramatically. And that obviously affects building, that affects
yeah.
the broader economy in a lot of really important ways. And they keep pushing us on this idea, well, unemployment's really low. Yeah, but not for the reasons they want people to believe, because of low labor force participation, because a lot of people retired during COVID. And I also think that they're not measuring. I think there are a lot of people that are just out of the job search right now because they've decided that they have better options, or they'd rather just move in with family. So when you're looking for some kind of an upshot in this economy, I think it's really hard to find one. And the people in charge are both dishonest about this and incompetent in the handling of this. That's the big challenge.
And let's talk about this potential basis point rise, which we anticipate is going to be a three-quarter basis point rise. They did this last month, which was the biggest interest rate rise since 1994. The expectation is the Fed is going to raise another three-quarter basis points today. When and or if that happens, Buck, think about the challenging dynamic that we're in. We may be in a recession and raising interest rates simultaneously, which almost never happens. Usually you're cutting interest rates during a recession to try to stimulate demand.
Yep.
So you're doing something that actually could add more fuel to the recession fire. And the reason we're having to do it is because they so mismanaged things that they allowed inflation to get out of control. So they could destroy the recession simultaneously, getting worse, while maybe not even being able to address the underlying inflation, which is why we're in one of the most difficult economic markets in terms of just trying to handle it. And we've got maybe the dumbest, least business-centric management that we have ever seen in our lives in the White House right now.
This is all ultimately cause and effect. The Fed, the government, put too much money into circulation. This was a problem of monetary policy. They overstimulated the economy. They artificially kept rates too low. They spent too much money. We're at $30 trillion roughly now in the national debt. Joe Biden comes in after a period of overspending. Let's be honest, during lockdowns, that happened. Trillions of dollars spent. He spent $2 trillion more. Wanted to spend another $5 trillion over 10 years on top of that for Build Back Better. The cause and effect here economically is clear. You spent too much money. You manipulated the economy too much. And so now there's going to be the pendulum swinging in the other direction. The political cause and effect should be the people that wanted to do this even more than they already did and have no idea how to actually operate within a free market economy to make things grow and improve and get better for all of us, they need to be held to account in this midterm election. That's otherwise, you're getting more of this. They still think if we could spend more. Remember, the stimulus package under Obama, remember what the criticism was when the Obama economy
wasn't even a trillion.
Wasn't even a trillion. And their whole thing, though, was that, oh, we didn't spend enough. That was always the thing. It's always more spending. Right now, if Joe Biden could, would he spend $5 trillion for Build Back Better
100%.
If he had the votes? 100% he would do it. They think they know how to put the money to work better than the American people do. They have to be taught a lesson.
All right, so on that note, let's not waste any time. Let's bring the video. Welcome in, Vito.
What's up, Poop? How's everything, Poop? How are you?
Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, sir?
You know, I had Kamala Harris was down in Kentucky, or up in Kentucky. She was basically saying that the flooding that they had there is clear, it can never be no more, can't be any clearer now that, you know, we have to do something about climate change. And to hear her say it, knowing that the scam that they're pulling or they're pushing on us, it's just, you know, it's lunacy. It's just sheer lunacy.
They somehow want to tell us that floods that happen every so often is caused by temperature change.
Poop, it's like they're going to use us. They're going to tax us to death to fix the weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No freaking sense whatsoever what they're trying to do. You know, and then we had Pelosi the other day. She was complaining that parents were starting to teach their kids how to shoot AK-15. Like, she doesn't even know what the hell she's talking about. And she actually said it was good to hear something like that. And meanwhile, they're teaching kids about transgenderism in kindergarten. And you're going to tell me what's more sick, that or a parent teaching a kid how to be responsible with a gun? It's insanity.
I definitely understand.
it's pure crazy. You know, she's in Taiwan now. So I'm glad that I am glad that she did go just to tell the Chinese to give them a finger. I hope nothing does happen to her, but you know, something's gonna happen soon, dude. I'm telling you right now. The Chinese are gonna do something crazy. Yeah. I think the Chinese are gonna hit Taiwan. I really believe it.
That wouldn't surprise me.
No. I mean, look, they, you know, we're letting Russia go into the Ukraine, and, you know, which I still have my doubts as to what's going on, like what side to choose, and now we're going to have China getting ready to go into Taiwan. And I think that's going to be the big problem. That is going to be the main thing that I think for everybody. Right, they got out of Zawahiri yesterday, or so they say they did. First they said they hit him with Hellfire missiles, and now they're saying that they hit him with this new type of, it doesn't have a warhead, but it shoots out mines. So I'm like, you know, what's going on here? What do we get him? Do we actually kill him? You know, and it happens right after Biden goes to Saudi Arabia, too. You know, something's going on with that all.
Leslie, you have anything on that? Your thoughts?
I'm just listening.
Yeah, but it's just times are getting more crazy now, and I think it's gonna really gonna happen.
About this money box, I'm guessing.
No. Proof, I think everyone that's vaccinated is going to get it. How about that?
Yeah.
That's my conspiracy theory.
I mean, you got Biden, he's quadruple back. Biden's getting COVID every other day.
Yeah, they got Brandon getting COVID every other day. They've been hiding him out in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, like Trump said that he caught dementia.
Yeah, he caught it all right. He's had it for a while, and I think that I know this is a little crazy to say, but yeah, we're across the Mississippi River right now. Yeah. I'm talking. Everyone that voted for Biden should pay his reparations, man. Because things would not be. I really don't think things would be that bad if Trump was president.
Okay. What do you think, though, about the Democrats thinking that they're going to put Governor Newsom out of California as the as their nominee?
I don't think he's got a snowball's chance in hell.
Well, neither do I. But the Democrats think that he's their man.
Yeah. I mean, they think Michelle Obama's their man too.
You mean Michael? Who I'm sure is a nice lady.
The Democrats have nobody to choose from.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton lost. Biden.
They're talking about Clinton too. There's rumors that she might jump in. So we'll see what happens with that. And then. No, we got two Republicans have. We got, like you said, Trump, DeSantis. I think Gabbard, I think, would be as a Democrat. I just don't know how she's a Democrat.
If they were smart, they would throw her out there, but they're not smart.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're not. The Democrat Party is afraid of her, too, I think. They're doing everything they can to discredit Donald Trump. This is January 6th thing. They're just dragging it out now. They're dragging it out. It's like a piece of snot.
So what else do you have going on tonight here,
Vito? Nothing else. Just driving around. I was down in El Paso. That's where they had me training out of. And they have the wall down there. Now, let me tell you something. Now, what separates El Paso and Juarez is like maybe 30 feet, just about, and that wall keeps everybody out. I mean, before that, people were just crossing the ground. People were just crossing over a little stream of water or whatever to come into town. Now they have to actually physically either find a part in the wall to where there is no wall, or they're going to have to cross the border legally. Yeah. I mean, that wall is a godsend. I also found out that when Trump was president, they had to send money to Mexico for them to enforce their borders down in Guatemala, down the southern borders over there, coming through into the U.S. So once Biden came in, he cut off that money and everyone started crossing. The U.S. One big conspiracy. other than that, it's not bad. The weather down south is pretty nice, but it rained this morning.
I didn't check any of the election news today.
Yeah, didn't they have some primaries today?
Yeah, I was looking to see what Arizona was doing, but I don't see any news yet for Arizona.
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that the female, I think it's a female running, no?
Carrie Lake, yes.
Yeah, I think she's going to knock it out of the ballpark.
Well, I think so, too. She's favored to win the whole thing in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizonans are completely pissed with the whole Yuma situation that's going on right now, where Biden literally had to finish Trump's wall in Yuma because it was getting that bad. And Biden went back on his word from when he ran, where he said that he would not put a penny back into Trump's wall. Now he's there finishing the wall in Yuma because the situation is that bad in Arizona.
I mean, well, all they're saying is that, well, they just clean up Trump's mess on them. Now the finger point that it's all going to be a Trump now. This is Trump's economy. It wasn't Trump's economy before, but now it's Trump's economy. They're crazy. They're doing damage control to the max.
Believe it or not, there's even talk about Democrats having AOC as a presidential candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be something fun, too. I think Newsom's got a better chance than she does.
Yeah, I mean, Gavin Newsom can't even run his own state. He has to send political ads to Florida to ask people to come back to California.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the important thing is that Obi-Wan Kenobi is now bisexual.
No. Obi-Wan is bisexual.
Yes.
No.
Compared to state of emergency over the money box.
Thank you, Disney. Obi-Wan Kenobi is bisexual. We can't even have J.K. Rowling with the Harry Potter series because now every character in Harry Potter is either gay, queer, transgender. Dumbledore apparently had a relationship with Snape, which nobody knows about. Like, book authors, companies, they're trying to do anything to appease the LGBTQ plus QIA, whatever the hell it is, community, because they're apparently the minorities of the century. You know, we have to have a new minority every century, and now we're here with the LGBTQ, QIA, whatever community. And it's absolutely ridiculous. They will try everything to appease anybody, make anybody happy, except the real Americans.
Amen.
All right, well, yes. That music says that we're done tonight. Thank you, Vito. Thank you, Leslie.
Night,
thank
y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Truck Driver, sir. I'll be back tomorrow to support the other shows on the network. It's not just a proof negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, remember only you can prevent forest fires. I am proof negative and I can't.